WMEL. Here's the forecast for this Saturday morning. Look for sunny skies today with a high of 90, which will be a near record-breaking temperature for this time of the year. The low tonight will be 75, and for Sunday, the high will be 88 with a 30% chance of rain. It's Florida Gators football this afternoon. The tailgater starts at 5:30 and kickoff against Mississippi State at 7:30. Here on your home for the Gators over the past 18 years, AM 1300, WMEL.
Hear Neil Bortz, weekdays 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. on the Talk To Me station, AM 1300, WMEL. Hear Lou Dobbs, weekday afternoons on AM 1300.
From AM 1300, WMEL, here's the forecast for this Saturday morning. Look for sunny skies today with a high of 90, which will be a near record-breaking temperature for this time of the year. The low tonight will be 75, and for Sunday, the high will be 88 with a 30% chance of rain. It's Florida Gators football this afternoon. The tailgater starts at 5:30 and kickoff against Mississippi State at 7:30. Here on your home for the Gators over the past 18 years, AM 1300, WMEL.
It's Lou Dobbs, weekday afternoons 3 to 6 p.m. on AM 1300 WMEL. Joining Lou in the Independent Nation Monday will be the independent New Jersey gubernatorial candidate, who will provide an update on his campaign and his chances on Election Day. And the editor of Talkers Magazine will weigh in on the radio industry and what the FCC has up its sleeve if the Democrats revive the Fairness Doctrine. Lou Dobbs, weekday afternoons 3 to 6 p.m. on AM 1300.
This is Bold Talk Business Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, the CEO of Bold Marketing Solutions, Donna Anselmo.
Donna Anselmo. Donna Anselmo.
Good morning. You're listening to Donna Anselmo at Bold Talk Business Radio on AM 1300, the Talk to Me station. And first, I want to start off today by saying hello to my friends who are listening today and the many listeners that I would like to count as friends. And the reason that I'm mentioning friends today is because at Bold Marketing Solutions, which is my company, and at virtually every other company in the world today, people want to get to know and do business with people that they like, trust, and rely on, the kind of people that you'd want to have as a friend and you want to be around whenever something is needed. So when the rubber meets the road and you want the right person around you, that's the kind of person you would call a friend, or at the very least, a very, very good customer or employee. So how do we know what makes a good person to do business with? Well, next week, we're going to be talking about what makes a good prospect for your business and how you qualify people who are in your target market. But today, we're going to start at home and inside the organization, and we're going to talk about how you begin creating a relationship if you're an individual and you want to get inside a company, you want to begin working with them, and you need to present yourself in the very best light. So when you're looking to land a job with the company that you'd like to work for, one of the first steps you need to make is figure out how you're going to present yourself. And very often that happens first touch with your resume or your bio. And so today we have Leah Scotto-Laub on the line, and Leah is an authority on resume writing and personal biographies. Leah is what's called a certified personnel consultant, and she's been in the employment field for more than 25 years. What's really incredible to me is that Leah, who owns Quantum Career Services, Inc. in Jericho, New York, has actually written and or reviewed and put her stamp on more than 9,000 resumes, bios, cover letters, and personal statements. So we're lucky to have Leah with us today so she can tell us how she placed more than 1,000 candidates over the term of her career into good jobs. Leah, thank you for being with us today. Welcome to Bold Talk Business Radio.
Thank you, Donna. I'm really excited to be here today.
Terrific, because I know you've got a lot of good information to share with people. So how about telling us, how does a resume or bio influence a person's career?
Well, a bio and a resume is a marketing tool. So you have to, you know, you want to use it depending on the situation that you're in. A bio might be used for someone in business, might be in their business plan. It may be used to get on a board of a volunteer organization. It could be used as part of their kit when they're introduced to a prospect. It's a very functional tool. And
so, can you explain a little bit about what the difference between a resume and bio is right at the start so that people who are...
Right, that's a good idea. First of all, bio is a Greek word, and it means life history or life story. So a bio is, it could be a good sized paragraph, or it could be a page. Usually, you know, you try to keep a bio not more than one page. I'm not talking about a book now, I'm just talking about a sheet. And a bio would have a lot of personal information. It may talk about where you grew up, what your youth was like, what your vocation is now. It would incorporate volunteer work and something about your family. And it shouldn't be boring. It should be, you know, you want to just reveal a few interesting tips about yourself to make you into a person and create feeling.
Mm-hmm. So, and a bio typically is written, Leah, as a narrative. It's written more like a story rather than...
Right.
Like
it's not in the first person. It doesn't say I. That's a very good point, Donna. It's in the third person. Right.
Okay. So tell us a little bit about then, now that we've heard a little bit about what you go into a bio, talk a little bit about a resume. What kind of resumes are there? How does the resume differ from a bio?
Well, a resume is broken down more like into sections where you have an objective. You could have a summary, you could have work experience. They're short lines. It's not, in fact, in the last 10 years, they've stopped using paragraphs and, you know, in resumes. But a resume comes from the word French, from a French word meaning summary. And there really are several types of resumes. There's also a curriculum vitae, which is Latin, which means, It actually means the rat race of your life. And usually
really?
A curriculum, I'm sorry, I said vitae. I think I said it wrong.
That's okay, vitae.
Anyway, that means, that's used for the academic world and the medical world. And that has, like, publications on it and licenses, personal information. And it's supposed to be longer.
When you mention that it has publications on it, I just want to clarify that what you're talking about is publishing that the writer of that curriculum vitae has actually written. So in other words, typically in academic settings, people publish in journals or they've written, you know, in academic textbooks or whatever, and they do that listing. Is that what you mean by publication?
That is correct.
Okay.
Yes. And a resume, which is much more popular, is a French word. It means summary. And that's what you're doing. You're giving a summary of your background, but more so today, it's focused on your objective of what type of position that you want.
So when someone is doing a resume today, then the current trend and thinking is that there should or should not be a list at the top that says, this is my objective.
Okay. That's a tricky question. When there is an objective, you want to let the reader know right away what type of job you're going for. So, for example, if you were a teacher, and when you look at the resume, you could tell right away that that's a teaching resume, you might not need an objective. But if you're looking at a resume and you can't tell what the person wants, or where they're going, what direction they're going in, then you need to state your objective. Clarity is very important. And in today's marketplace, if a person that's reading your resume is confused about what you want, they're not going to take you seriously. Let me go back a little bit and just tell you the types of resumes that there are.
Okay, we're listening to Leah Scott-O'Leb, who's an authority on resumes. talking on AM 1300, the Talk to Me station at Bold Talk Business Radio. Go ahead, Leah.
Okay. You have a chronological resume, which is the most popular, and that's where your resume goes from the most recent employment backwards. And now it's very acceptable to go back 10 years. You don't have to go back more than that. Now, you may want to go back more than that because if the job before the 10 years relates to where you're going and that's going to help market you, then you would want to use that. So even though there are rules, you know, for resume writing, they're loose because it's always about what's going to make you as strong as possible in your presentation to your potential employer.
So you
then, I'm sorry, go ahead.
My question was going to be, with the 10-year issue, I understand what you're saying about let's go back if the information is relevant. Some people have said to me, you know, you shouldn't put on a resume stuff that goes back too far because it makes you look too old. I guess it depends on your age, but do you have a comment on that?
Well, I believe that in many circumstances, you should not put, you know, dates on that are going to make you appear older. People are very youthful and vibrant, and when an employer gets to meet you, they're going to forget about a number. They're going to buy into who you are and what you bring to the table. Sometimes when you put a number on a resume, in their mind, they're thinking, oh, maybe that person's not energetic. They're not, you know, they're not going to be able to, you know, blend into the culture enough. But when they meet you, they change their mind. So I feel a lot of times it's best not to put a number down that you think might hurt you.
Okay. So if you're... writing your resume. Go ahead.
There are always buts. So, for example, if you were entering the teaching profession and you graduated with a master's degree in 1978, they would expect to see that on a teaching resume. But maybe for a technical position or a customer service position, it might not be important.
I see. Okay, so tell us a little bit about the different types of resumes, Leah. This is Donna Anselmo.
Well, this was...
Business Radio. Go ahead.
Sorry, Donna. So we just talked about the chronological resume. There's a functional resume. And a functional resume plays down dates. And it could be, for example, say you worked in one type of position for many, many years. You were an account representative, always in the medical industry. So you've had four different jobs, and you did pretty much the same thing. So instead of writing ABC company and the same title and the same duties, you may decide to just have a section that says duties and responsibilities and list them all, and then your employment history separate at the bottom. So you're breaking it up, you're breaking your resume up differently. You would also use a functional resume if you have a lot of gaps in your employment. Then you would present it differently and to try and help you get your foot in the door.
So if you're doing a functional resume, the reason that you want to do a functional resume then, as I'm interpreting this, is when you want your capabilities and your experience, the things that you know to be highlighted, but that you don't necessarily want to tie it to a time frame or the places where you did it.
Right. And
okay.
I think that you just said an important thing about the capabilities. On a functional resume, you may want to talk about, in the very beginning, your strengths, because you want to play up those strengths if you have gaps in your employment, you know, and balance it out so that you're more marketable. Mm. You know, if you're highly organized, if you've run projects, you're a team player, you may want to come up with some of those ideas.
Are there common mistakes that people make when they put together a resume or a bio?
More for a resume, I would think. You know, resumes, people people make a lot of spelling errors on resumes, even though, you know, we're in the computer age. People use spell check, and they don't rely on their eyes to see mistakes. And what happens is when you type a resume on the computer, you know, like the word form and from, you know, the computer isn't going to catch that. Manager and manger, that's a very big mistake on resumes. So you really need people to read it for you, to get other people's feedback. Some people believe that you should read the resume backwards from the bottom to the top, and that helps you catch mistakes. I'm trying to think of other mistakes people make. I believe the top third of the resume is very important. That's the marketing part. So anything that you have about you that makes you special, especially accomplishments that you've had in your career, those are things that are going to set you apart. If you don't let the potential employer know what you've done that sets you apart from all the other people that do the same job that you do, you may not get the interview.
So are you suggesting that there should be a section at the top for results that you have, or you know, maybe thread results into the different sections that you're talking about, like I increased sales by 90% or I lowered costs by 50%?
I call that highlights of accomplishments.
Okay.
And or career highlights. Absolutely. So you would want to try to quantify your success. For example, just by using numbers, by if you were ranked in the top 4 out of 150 people, you might want to put that in your organization. If you won trips, if you were promoted throughout your career, if you made recommendations that were implemented, if you were on a team that increased revenue by a certain percentage.
Leah, I know if you go on a website today and you're doing a job search, a lot of the websites, a lot of the companies have the automatic upload feature. They want you to upload your resume.
Mm-hmm.
And most of those, as I understand it, require you to have your resume prepared in Microsoft Word and you just upload it. Or sometimes you have to fill it right out into sections that they preset. How are you impacted when you have to go and fill out, and how can you be prepared to go and fill out the kind of a resume when you go to a company and they say, okay, and it's like HTML based and you've got to type in all your stuff right into the computer at the moment?
Yes. You have to be very careful because that lends itself to mistakes, you know, typing mistakes. Also, you know, I recommend that you have more than one resume. You have a resume that has that is left justified, and that means that everything is all the way to the left, as you know, going down the page. Nothing is centered. Nothing is italics. You have one resume that's very plain. And so you can cut and paste that information and put it into the little windows that you see on those employment or advertisements.
Okay. What about you've got your resume. You're pretty sure that you've tightened it up, you've spell-checked it, you've put in all the categories. Oh, do me a favor, Leah. What are the particular categories that you want to have in a resume? So you mentioned objective, you mentioned experience. What are some of the other categories people should be addressing?
Some resumes, I have a summary, which is an overview, you know, 40 years experience, 40 years, say 15 years experience in a particular field with the proven ability to do, you know, project management, you know, IT, consulting, whatever it is, you know, proven experience. And so that would be like a little selling part. And then many resumes I do areas of expertise. Let's see, we do computer skills, volunteer work.
Education.
Oh, of course. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I guess that was, I just assumed that. So, right. So, education and experience would be the, you know, basics.
Mm-hmm. And then you put a section, do people put a section for awards and professional accomplishments? Do you
right.
recommend something
so,
like that go at the end or up in the top? Where do you put that?
Well, it really depends on what occupation you have, but many times I will put awards in the, for example, if it's a college graduate, I may make a section for them, academic and experiential highlights. So their awards and their promotions, maybe they worked as a hostess or a waiter in a restaurant, but they may have excelled, they may have been promoted. Those things for, you know, just to show that they move forward, you know, everything they touch, something good happens to them, they're being viewed as a, you know, a positive force in their, you know, in that organization. So you want to use that. I think it should be in the beginning because that's part of marketing.
Okay, so it's very competitive out there. I'm not even going to venture to name statistics right now and people who are looking for jobs, but we know that it is highly competitive. How does somebody who has prepared a, you know, nice, clean, neat, well-written, spell-checked resume, how does somebody make themselves stand out in an interview, or how do they get the interview by sending in the resume? What's the key?
Well, most people today are emailing their resumes to prospective employers. I have found that people are getting more interviews when they write a note in their email. And so, in other words, what you want to do is you want, even though you might be sending a cover letter that's attached, and you may be sending a resume that's attached, so maybe there's two attachments. But in the note, when you're writing the email, you should say something that is very compelling so they want to open your resume and look at it.
Can you give us an example?
Yes. So you may want to say, you know, please find my resume for your consideration for the position of blah, blah, blah. And then I am an excellent candidate for this position because I type 80 words a minute. I have 5 years of experience in this area. And one other thing, you say three things that make you fit that position like you're the best possible candidate.
Well, that's very good advice. We're talking with Leah Scotto, who is the founder, president, and owner of Quantum Career Services, Inc. in Jericho. Leah, we have just a couple of minutes left, and I want to make sure that if people want to contact you personally to follow up on some of your suggestions or to ask you to do a resume for them, how would they reach you?
The best way to reach me is by phone, which would be 516-822-5627, or you can email me, Leah, which is spelled differently, it's L-H as in Harry, E-A, at 822jobs, J-O-B-S, .com.
Well, Leah, I want to thank you so much for being here with us today. We've got just a few seconds left, and I want to encourage our listeners to contact Leah. If you're looking for a job, take time to figure out exactly what should be on that resume and take the time to go over it with a fine-tooth comb, make sure you proofread, spell check, and do everything that's going to make you market yourself effectively to your customer. This is Donna Anselmo at Bold Talk Business Radio. We'll see you again next week.
From AM 1300, WMEL. Here's the Saturday forecast. Look for sunny skies today with just a 20% chance of rain and a record-breaking high of 90 degrees. Tonight's low will be a mild 75. And for Sunday, partly cloudy skies with a high tomorrow of 88 degrees and a 30% chance of rain. It's investing for the long run this afternoon at noon with Bob Raw and Jim Raw on AM 1300, WMEL.
Hear Lou Dobbs weekday afternoons on AM 1300. AM 1300 WMEL.